It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
So we'll get to Fred VanVleet here. Let me ask you this, Sean. By the way, for people who are going to be here with us tomorrow, Sean begins his vacation, and Colton, who's in there right now, will be producing the show tomorrow. So we're going to find out about Colton. This is what it is, Colton. On July 14th, I started asking you questions about stuff because I got time to kill, man. And it ain't going to be about Netflix and the Home Run Derby. I won't be watching.
Oh, it's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I won't be watching a second of that.
Yeah. It's tough.
I'm good. Sorry. There's an Outlander episode I can watch on Netflix before I watch the Home Run Derby. And the remake of Little House on the Prairie was actually not bad. I was like, I never watched the original because it was before my time. But, these settlers go out west and, you know, I expect them to take the land from the Native Americans. That's baked into the story.
That's history, baby.
Yeah, but they've handled it more delicately this time around, where we see it from the Native Americans' point of view.
Oh, okay.
We don't just say, hey, they just...
Those savages that are trying to live
on
our land that we're moving to.
I did find it funny. There's one episode where a couple of the, I guess you would say the couple, are they the Osage? I forgot exactly which tribe they are. But they just walked into the Ingalls' home, the settlers' home. And you're going to offer us jam made out of the berries that come from our land? You're offering those to us as a way to make peace? They're like, no, we're just going to take this stuff. We're just going to walk in your home and take this stuff. Walk in your trap. Take over your trap.
No.
Yes.
Those
because you walked
first?
Into our trap and tried to take over our trap. So it's what it is. It is a more updated version of Little House on the Prairie. It's a fine show. Not some drama, but you kind of know nothing bad's really going to happen to anyone because it's Little House on the Prairie. And the Native Americans aren't savages. They're just people like the rest of us. Mm. That's the story and the lesson you should learn. No war chants at any point. No arrows being shot at anyone.
No white guys dressed up as Native Americans.
They avoided that too.
Okay.
Florida State can't. But Netflix's Little House on the Prairie can't believe they got that off. But they have a relationship with the Seminole tribe.
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
They have a contract.
I don't know if part of it was we can put a white guy up in brown face, but that is.
I would think that they would edit that. Hey,
I don't know if that's in the
one
fine
clause.
Print.
I don't know, but
it has happened certainly. At least from outside looking in, I don't know the background of the gentleman. Maybe he is of the Seminole tribe. It just looks like they put some brown paint or makeup some bronzer on a white guy and let him sit on that horse and
Renegade.
Call himself Chief Osceola.
Yeah.
Yes, my hate for Florida State is coming out.
They catch it way more often than you think on this show.
It is what it is.
Because I get in on it, too.
And we're getting close. And it's well-deserved. And they're getting and it's football season's right around the corner, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be even more
I mean, for the first time, in a month, we have, several days between World Cup matches. I mean, shoot, we only have, three left and a third-place game that I know people will be glued to.
FIFA likes to call it the bronze. I forgot what they call it. There's a specific title FIFA likes to call it, and it's not the third.
Second runner-up?
I think it's the bronze medal game or something like that.
Mm.
I think, or bronze winner game, whatever they call it. But they don't like third place game. It does.
Okay.
It takes away from the prestige.
Okay. There'll be a game that decides who is third and fourth
best
place
in the world, yes.
in this tournament, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, and it got me itching for, it's only like 6 weeks until week zero. We got halfway through the summer slow time, thanks to the World Cup.
FIFA prefers
third place playoff, third place match, or bronze final. I think that's the one they like the people to like for people to say. But
okay,
no
Gianni, I'll do that.
Yeah, who is hinting that 64 is on the table as far as teams are concerned. More match breaks.
Yeah,
more
I mean,
teams.
What is it with? And I promise we will get to Fred VanVleet at some point.
Or maybe that's just a bit we never get.
He's
to
the
it.
Matt Damon of today's show.
Yes.
What is it with sports leagues now? Whether it's FIFA with the 64 team World Cup, whether it's college basketball, college football, where it's like you got 48 on the board once, it went well. Can we
just try our luck again?
Good job, everyone. Good job.
People roundly
you made a good move.
People roundly hated it, but it turns out
Haters were wrong.
Let's push our luck. Let's try it one more time.
Same thing with the 12-team playoff. They did it once, and then that entire offseason was like, so what were we thinking? 14, 16? And now
24 maybe?
Yeah, now we got a second 12-team playoff under our belts, and we're like, that's double it.
Don't you love the Cabo Verde story?
Yeah.
What if you had 16 more of these stories?
What if instead of Cabo Verde, it was, I don't know.
Meanwhile,
Michigan State.
What they don't talk about is Qatar. How heartwarming was the story watching them get bullied around for three games? But the Cabo Verde story is enough to make people think, hey,
don't look at
DR Congo and Cabo Verde is enough to make people think, hey, at least FIFA think 16 more of these would
Tunisia,
be great.
Oh, don't look at Tunisia. don't look at this team. Don't look at that team. There's like one don't look at Curacao. Don't look at what they did. Nope. I don't know. It's like you can't just have a, hey, we made a good move. Let's see how it goes for more. Because this also has the possibility. I mean, there are soccer games, so it's like, a couple breaks here or there. You're looking at 4-0 results instead of 2-2 draws.
Yeah,
like
if Vozinha doesn't exist, bad were these Cabo Verde games going to be?
So there's an element of like, we know it worked this time, kind of.
There's no guarantee it'll work in 4 years.
Yeah.
And you already are thinking about going to 64.
And just how many games that is.
And it's think like, about, if people who don't know, because of the 2030 World Cup, yes, Morocco and I believe Italy.
Spain, right?
Spain or Italy? Is it Turkey? No, I'm getting it wrong. I think it's like Turkey and Italy are co-hosting the 2030 World Cup. But there also will be a game played in Argentina.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, you're right. It's Morocco. I don't know why I said Turkey. It's Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. They are the tri-host, much like this current World Cup. And there also will be games to celebrate 100 years in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. So you're going to have matches in South America and in Europe and Africa.
But we're not going to put them. We're not going to put – we. Okay, yeah. Could we – in theory, just have the whole World Cup in Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. Yes. But what if instead we had six host countries instead of three?
Yeah, at minimum one game in those spots. There could be in the South American countries. There could be more.
So the bidding's still open.
That's one way of looking at it, Sean.
Historically.
If you want to be cynical about
it. If my guy Sepp Blatter was still running it.
But it is supposed to be in honor of the 100th anniversary of the first World Cup. So they're going to have matches in, as I said.
I'm sure.
Because in Uruguay, the host stadium of the 1930 final. So they're going to have a match there. They're going to have a match in Buenos Aires and one in Asunción. Hope that's how to say it in Paraguay. So
do you think Paraguay was like, hey, listen, if they're getting it, if Uruguay's getting it, break off a little piece for us.
I mean, they have won a title now a long time ago, and as I said, they hosted the first final after Paraguay's performance against France,
who they were there stepping on ankles for ninety minutes.
Perhaps we remove the game as punishment
until you act right.
Yeah. We want to see how you perform in Copa America before we guarantee.
Hey,
actually, play soccer.
What?
No. And get a hold of your senator too. You know what? If Infantino was about that life, he'd send France over there for the first game. That's what you do.
They need to do it. Group D matchup.
If you wanted to be full-on full on carnival barker.
Yeah,
send France over there for match one.
They need. I mean, honestly, at this point, I was going to say they need to hire or just have Vince McMahon as a consultant for things like this. Just have Vince McMahon run FIFA. Who cares at this point? What meaningfully would be the difference?
Not much.
From Infantino.
I can't see any. Although, Vince would never let himself go bald.
No.
It's clear he would have done it. He would have done some stuff to make sure that didn't happen.
He
may have already. I don't know.
I mean, he has not a gray hair on his head.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, actually, no. He does have like a little like stripe.
Skunk stripe.
Yeah.
The question would be.
A real life Pepe Le Pew. Allegedly.
Would Vince bring turkey to him or would he go over to Turkey if it came to that, if it hasn't already?
Turkey, the next four World Cups.
Well, as long as you keep those doctors active and available. All right. I won't say I promise because there's 4 minutes in between now when we come back. But Fred VanVleet spoke to Vanessa Richardson about his status and his recovery. We'll get to that likely when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
You can take a quick poll in there, Sean, and answer it yourself as well. Were you excited going into the 2025-26 Rocket season?
I got a yes from Colton, and I'll go, yeah. I was optimistic.
The major addition? I'm trying to think back to that offseason. Was Kevin Durant the biggest addition for any team last offseason?
Last offseason.
Did anyone else of that type of consequence straight to move teams? I can't remember. Anyone?
No, Luka was at the trade deadline.
Already a Laker, yeah.
I think so.
I think it was Kate.
Off the top of my head, it was Paul George. No, Paul George was the year before.
And it's Paul George.
Hey, I'm just going through my head of guys that moved
teams.
We're
trying to figure it out.
It was Harden. Did Harden change teams? No, he got traded at the deadline. Yeah. I think it was. It was probably Kevin Durant.
Where do you and take
oh,
the poll?
Oh, no, that was during the trade deadline, too.
And take the poll again, or Colton can actually hear me, so you don't have to actually poll him. How do you feel about this upcoming Rocket season?
Just try to get through it.
That's how he's approaching it? Hey, I got to get through this slog, this 82-game slog, and we'll see what happens in the playoffs.
Me and Marcus Smart just grinding through. I will say, in like 2019, I was like, man, Marcus Smart would be great on the Rockets. Marcus Smart would be awesome to replace Chris Paul when they traded Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. I was like, honestly, they don't really need Westbrook. They need more of a Marcus Smart grinder.
I imagine seven years later, you feel a little different.
Yeah. I mean, they still kind of need what he can provide, but.
Maybe in a younger, less turnover prone body.
I would prefer it
in a better shooting body.
No, I definitely preferred it when that body was 26 years old, not as 30, opposed to 30 whatever.
32, 33.
Yeah.
So I am there with you. There's a lack of maybe less so excitement, but belief in this team. Because if what I see currently on paper is what they're gonna roll into, the thought of having to depend on Fred's knee and, Fred being a good player while he's still recovering and let Fred lay it out and see if he is going to be right after hearing him. Do you believe he's going to be right by the time the season rolls around? And by right, I mean ready to go at his very best. Here's Fred VanVleet with Vanessa Richardson at Summer League.
We are here with Fred VanVleet. Fred, you know what I have to start with? Rockets fans love you. They miss having you on the court. How's recovery going this summer?
It's going great. I'm right on track. I'm getting stronger, getting better. So it's a slow process. I'm eager and ready to get back out there, but, got to follow protocol. So I should be good for the start of the season.
That's great to hear. I know Rockets fans are going to be really excited about that. Looks like we've got some fans making half-court shots here at Summer League. What does that recovery and rehab look like for you during the summer?
Just getting stronger, trying to get the leg back right. Long days, tour days. But we got a great team, a great rehab team with the training staff here with the Rockets and then also with obviously with Mike G. So it's been a journey for sure, but I'm ready to get back out on the court.
Bruce Thornton.
He goes on to answer a question about Bruce Thornton and looking forward to helping him out. And look, Bruce Thornton is simply Zoomer Fred VanVleet. I mean, he may has a type, and he just drafted. He drafted a younger version of Fred. The question is, can Fred be a leader by example, not just a leader with his words, and can he be healthy enough to help this team? So you hear Fred. He says he's on track to play. Fred has also said things in the past which led us to believe he would be playing at a time, and that turned out to be, Fred was just saying stuff because, in fact, his knee was far worse than they let on. So hopefully, now that we would be another season removed, and think how bad that knee injury was.
It exploded. His knee exploded. He said his knee exploded.
Yes, that he got hurt, I think, in September before the season began. A full season trying to recover. And now another off season of still recovering. And the belief is he'll be on track to be ready to go to start the year. So
I could really use, and this is one of the first times I'll ever say this, I could really use a off season open run video of Fred VanVleet at the gym at LA Fitness or whatever. I know they don't actually go to LA Fitness, but crossing dudes up. I could really use the, like, Udo, Fred VanVleet is a problem.
Even if he wants to take contested step back threes in an open run, I'm fine.
I need to see him play basketball.
Yes, that's what we're looking for.
I need him to be physically
because
capable of
playing
basketball.
I just have the feeling they're gonna open up training camp, and Fred, it's a process we're going to hear. I imagine that being the case.
I mean, he's definitely not playing back-to-backs.
And even when the season begins and he's able to go, there will be a maintenance plan.
Yeah, he's probably not going to – I mean, how many – what was his minutes per game his last healthy season?
High 30s, mid-30s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would expect that to be low 30s now.
And that is why Marcus Smart –
35, 36 were the 2 minutes per game or the 2 years he's been.
Now, maybe Ime Udoka is the Wayne Graham of basketball. He's just going to run his guys out there. I don't know, but I think...
Bud Kilmer.
Yeah, Bud Kilmer, actually. That's better because there's a knee injury involved, potentially. Shoot it up. That's what Bud would do.
You bleep.
Yeah.
Bleepity bleep.
You go out there, run the rock for me, but I won't let you score touchdowns.
Yeah, I in that way, like, again, the headline acquisition being Marcus Smart, it is like, all right, sure.
Not impressive, but for where the Rockets are at that backcourt,
yeah,
the archetype makes sense. Maybe I don't want Marcus Smart doing it.
Yeah, it's like last season, like they 100% needed Marcus Smart. Like they needed that kind of guy, that kind of like stabilizing. Because what we found out was that Amin Thompson at point guard and Reed Sheppard at point guard weren't quite ready for prime time, and so it adds a little bit of stabilizes that. A little bit more. And that really is like the, I guess, like sell that you can make for the Rockets this season is just like, hey, the like bottom end stuff that you saw, like the real lows of the offense, like should be a little bit better because at the very least they will have a point guard on the court. They should be capable of having a point guard on the court.
The floor should be raised.
Where they're not like throwing the ball out of bounds on like a third of their possessions.
Yeah, Marcus Smart was a live ball turnover guy in the Lakers series. Perhaps that doesn't happen as a Rocket. We can only hope. So the floor will be raised at that spot. The ceiling for the team, even excluding just thinking about Marcus Smart, the addition, what they've done overall this offseason. Look, Bruce Thornton hopefully turns into a contributor, whether it's this year or next. That could just be simply looked at as a potential point guard for the future. I'm fine with the draft pick. Where they were in the draft, and even with trading up, no issue with that. But this is a team who essentially is running it back.
Yeah.
And the hope is that a couple 30-year-olds In fact, multiple, like three of them.
From Adams, they're actually mostly old guys now.
From Adams to Van Fleet to Smart, all being available once the playoffs begin is the difference between your first round exit and what?
Second round exit.
Yeah. Is that a contender? And then you're hoping for, of course, the disaster of Kevin Durant not being available for most of that series is one thing. But then you have to hope that you get as healthy as a season as you just have from him, which is really, I mean, maybe he's a medical marvel. Maybe, look, we've got another guy in LeBron who's played a lot of minutes who can still play. So maybe Kevin Durant's another contemporary who can do it. So maybe we'll luck out there. But you're asking a lot from an all of a sudden, in NBA terms, old basketball team. And maybe you maintenance plan all of them because all you want to do is get them to April and May. And if you're lucky, June. I have low expectations as far as what they think they can be and what they actually will be.
Kevin Durant maintenance plan seems it seems like something Ime Udoka is not that interested in. Based off of the one season I've seen Ime Udoka coach Kevin Durant last season, where he was top three in minutes.
Yeah, he was forced into it with Tari because he had to. But as far as his team overall, he's not looking for that.
No.
He's not looking for it. So I would agree. It would have to be something that comes down from on high. Like, hey.
You got to get
We played guys. Him yeah. a lot of minutes. He played a lot of games, and he was not available, whether through freak injury or just wear and tear that led to the injury. He wasn't available when it mattered most. I would hope. But we remember the quote from Ime. I took him out for 2 minutes. We lost like a 13-point lead to like the Kings or something.
It was Portland.
So it wasn't even a great team. Portland turned out to be
decent.
A little fun. They made the playoffs after getting through a play-in game. So, but the coach told you, at least at that time, didn't even trust this team to play a couple minutes against a very average team without Kevin Durant. So the evidence would have to be shown by this team that Kevin Durant doesn't have to play 35, 36 minutes a night, doesn't have to be a minutes leader, and you have to hope you can manage him into a playoff series and multiple. I just don't feel like even at their top end, they're a real contender, which is a shame for a team that now we're talking, even with the Steven Silas stuff, okay, that went bad because James Harden went out, but now we're talking about what I always – forget the Ime years. We're into year four.
Yeah, going into year four. And there's 41 and 41.
50 plus.
50 win, couple. 50 win.
So now, and you're still not a contender with Kevin Durant in the fold?
I mean, it's also the bar for contention got higher.
Sure.
Where it's like, who is a contender other than those two? Like, maybe Minnesota, but like also.
And they did a lot because they didn't think they were good enough.
Yeah, but it's also like, who's the starting power forward on that team? there's like these big question marks on all these teams except for OKC.
I think the Wolves have shown, at least they believe, that if you look across the Western Conference at the two top teams, a second big isn't their biggest issue. I guess they believe smaller is the word, but being more versatile with your wings. That's what, LaMelo, whatever. We'll see if he can be a winning player. But you
bring that too. Yeah. Like our bet to make the finals is a guy who hasn't played a playoff game. Yeah. And the last two times the last two times you've gotten eliminated from the playoffs was the Spurs, and you won game one, and then the game that Victor got thrown out of. And then the year before, you lost in five to OKC. So it's like the two teams you need to go through, you haven't really been that competitive with. So to me, it's just like every team is just like, how the hell are we going to get through these teams? Like it's just
I take that into consideration, certainly.
If
we look at the reality of it, how close can you get to these two teams? But they're not they are clearly, or at least they want us to believe, they're not operating in a way that they think these two teams are untouchable.
But, are they? I mean,
the Knicks beat them, so clearly the Spurs weren't untouchable last year.
Yeah.
We'll see with another year of experience if they become that. But this Rockets team is saying that they've told us they think they can be good enough. I don't know that standing pat is the way to go.
It feels like the hey, let's just make it as much as we can. And again, like Shea turns his ankle in the series. You know, like, it is just like betting on, hey, if you're the like fifth best, fourth best, you know, try to be the third best team in the West. Like, there is one year where, like, hey, maybe the cards go your way and you get a Mickey Mouse trip to the finals that everyone disrespects, but hey, you still, you know, still can hang the banner like the Denver Nuggets can, like, where it's just, hey, we just kept hitting our head long enough, and eventually one year we were able to break through.
Well, let's talk about a team who had one of those runs in 2023 when we come back, because the dissolution of that team led to a punch being thrown in Vegas, and then Draymond got involved because, hey, I was criticized for punching someone, and then Udonis Haslem said, shut up before you really have a problem, in so many words. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I was thinking about this as the story broke, I believe, Friday. Shams reported that Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero got into an altercation. It stems from Tyler Hero having a burner account and stupidly talking to fans when they all know it's his burner account. And at one point, Tyler goes, oh, you screenshot stuff? Because some of the DMs got out. Like, yeah, someone you don't know is screenshotting things. Had you not heard or learned from Kevin Durant? Now, Tyler Hero apparently has a history. He's had a burner for a while now. Everyone knows it's him, so it's hardly a reason to have a burner when everyone knows it belongs to you.
Seems like it defeats the purpose.
On Instagram, but he still chatted through it, and I guess he thought he had enough of a community that they wouldn't screenshot or snitch on him. When you only play 33 games in a year and your team didn't make the playoffs, everything's on the table, even with people you think are friendly with you on Twitter or Instagram. So he used the comments to defend himself and take little jabs at his former teammate, Bam Adebayo. Bam, it appears the first time he was able to see Tyler Hero since he was traded to the Bucks along with others to acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo. He put hands on him. There's some conversations about, was it multiple punches or shove and a punch? Who said what to who at the time? But either way, the gist of it is two ex-teammates, I wouldn't even say got in a fight, because there's no reporting that Tyler Hero got a punch off, just that he got hit. He was seen after the game.
Okay, so it is like the Draymond Green Jordan Poole Except fight, where there was only one punch thrown,
and it appeared,
and they're not on the same team.
And Tyler Hero did an interview, and people are questioning why he would not open up about the interview right after the altercation. I think Chris Haynes talked to him at Summer League, and he goes, "Yeah, no hard feelings. The Heat don't. I don't imagine he wanted it to become a thing.
Hey, I just got punched in the face.
Yeah, no one's gonna say hey,
in front of my AAU team.
Yeah, I love Chris Quinn. I love Spo, and Bam just punched me in the face.
Yeah,
it's not
Kager,
gonna be
Kager Knipple. Just watched me get punched in the face.
No one's
real story.
And my brother Miles tried to get in the way, but someone stopped him. He's not gonna tell that story. It was reported. It's out there now. And I was trying to think to myself, outside of teammate on teammate or Schroeder against Luka at the arena, do NBA players fight each other anymore? Like, they're sometimes in the same spot where they're at a club or whatever, but you don't see this. Like, all the stories we hear about are teammate on teammate, and of course these guys were recently teammates, but in the locker room, I'm going to go get my gun, the famous wizard stuff, or Draymond, or Michael Jordan when he's punching guys. It's always, in some ways, on site, whether you're at your home arena.
You're just sick of your teammate.
Yeah, or you're at a practice facility.
Yeah.
Never, as I say this facetiously, in the wild. Never away from home base do you see these things.
Yeah.
And always, and of course, the caveat is these guys were just teammates
like
3 weeks ago. But always teammates. When was the last time an NBA player
fought
outside? Well, we have, as I said, we have the Dennis Schroeder, Luka thing, but that happened like right after a game.
And like the Hornets and Pistons, that was on the court.
On the court.
Yeah.
We rarely get away from the arena, away from the practice court, at least when it comes to fighting. We rarely see this. No. I don't remember the last time, or if I ever remember this. And it was a basketball related spot. But
like someone getting punched in the face.
They do. Yeah. I don't remember it.
There has to be like a Charles Oakley. But we're going back 30 years.
Yeah, it's not a thing. There's too much money involved. It's just not a thing guys do anymore. And I guess
Ja Morant pointing laser pointers at the Indiana Pacers
in the vicinity
team
of
bus.
The arena.
Yes.
But no one got hit there.
Yeah.
It was
laser pointers.
Yeah. So there was a relationship there. They were close at one time.
Ja Morant beating up the 13-year-old kid. He was like 16.
Yeah, but distinctly not an NBA player.
Yeah, not an NBA player.
And not an adult either, Ja.
No, that was a real issue for him.
Don't hit a 16-year-old.
I'm really struggling. I mean, we don't even really get the Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, tell me how my ass tastes anymore. No. We don't really even get on the record
beef now.
Yeah, but even then they don't tell each other to tell me how my ass tastes.
And there isn't this.
I will have to listen to the Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart podcast to see if they get into that.
Tell me how my thumb tastes.
My God. What? That's to each other. I was thinking more like
at someone
at X team. Jalen Brunson being
Dante DiVincenzo?
Luka Doncic, huh?
I haven't heard it.
Tell me how my. Yeah.
It's generally, at worst, Patrick Beverley saying something disrespectful about someone.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley saying something out of pocket. Draymond Green saying something out of pocket.
And Draymond had words for one Udonis Haslem, who is known as one of the standard bearers of Heat culture, because Udonis criticized Draymond for punching Jordan Poole and saying, hey, you're one of his – you're an OG. You're the guy who's bringing him up through the league. What are you doing? And, of course, Draymond didn't like it. And after the incident over the weekend, he called out Udonis for, hey, have the same energy.
Yeah, what happened to Heat culture stuff?
Where are you? Are you going to just let this go? And Udonis, who now works for Prime, but has been known.
Amazon Prime's Udonis Haslem.
Yes. But has been known.
Employee of Jeff Bezos.
On the court.
Udonis Haslem.
Yes. But he has been known on the court to be a bit of an enforcer.
Yeah.
As I said, a standard bearer for Heat culture. But doesn't really get into the back and forth online. But sometimes you got time.
Yeah.
And he had time.
Or a real OG.
As he is called.
Yeah.
And he had time for Draymond to the point where he, at the very end, said, look, I ain't really vibing with you anyway. But certainly now. He didn't threaten him, but it was implied that perhaps watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Don't bring
Just
me
careful.
Any stuff. Just watch your mouth. And he also talked about how, look, these guys are Tyler and Bam, 28 and 26. It's a little different for you to be punching a guy who's when you're 32 years old and he's 23.
Were they on? No, they weren't on. They're both one and done guys in Kentucky.
Yeah,
right?
They're both.
They didn't, yeah.
They didn't. They never played together, but
they're
both Kentucky guys who wound up with the Heat.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I was seeing clips about, you know, this was from maybe a couple years ago or last year where Bam was interviewing Tyler Hero or Tyler Hero was interviewing Bam and they're like, or no, Tyler Hero asked Bam which teammate, like if you were to get in a fight, would have your back the most. And Bam thought about it. He said, I hope all of them. But if there's one person, I think it's Tyler Hero. I think it's you, Tyler Hero, the man I'm talking to right now. And you know what? Kind of made my heart break. That's I mean, they went from compatriots side by side to now look at them punching each other in front of a Wisconsin area AAU team. I just think it's so funny that those 15-year-old kids had to watch Tyler Hero
watch the guy who
the
sponsors
face.
Their team get punched in the face
by Bam Adebayo.
Yeah,
I just like that. That to me, I mean, how do we not get video? Like there has to
it's
be
a Vegas hotel in a ballroom.
CCTV
there is a video. Whether it comes out, that'll be the
TMZ,
question.
TMZ, get on it.
But you know, there's
you found
a video.
The Ray Rice stuff. Find this.
And the question will be: did Tyler Hero eat that punch better than Jordan Poole did? I don't know that. If it was a glancing blow or he got hit full on, but we do know there was contact by one guy to the other.
And wasn't it, this is where like the reporting, like who knows, well, you know, it all just game of telephones out. But From what I remember reading, that it was like Bam Adebayo basically just walked up to him and punched him in the face. Like, there wasn't like an argument.
Yeah, he walked into the into where this practice was going on, and Tyler said something to him. We don't know what he said.
Mm.
Bam didn't say very much, apparently.
He would do the speaking later with his, his hands.
And I saw a report that said he shoved him, and then he swung on him and made contact. And then the thing was broken up, and everyone was separated.
Mason Hero got to...
Miles.
Miles Hero.
There may be a Mason, but I know there's a Miles.
That, you know what? Those are two of the three Plumleys, too, Mason and Miles.
My favorite line from Udonis's response to Draymond Green was, "You fired off on that young boy like it was a club punch, and you never met him before in your life."
He did. He like got a running start at him.
Yes. He goes, and at the very end, as I said, he didn't threaten him explicitly, but you could
just watch
you
out.
You could look into it and say, maybe there is a threat here. You brought me into this, and I am retired and out the way. I suggest you keep pushing it, because I ain't giving out no more hall passes, bro. And that was the end of his statement. Udonis. Amazon Prime's Udonis has.
If Jeff Bezos is number one employee, Udonis has them. Employee of the month.
Him and Blake Griffin.
You know what I'm calling it? For July, employee of the month for Amazon, who has 100,000, I imagine, Udonis Haslam. I've seen enough. It's the 13th. I've seen enough.
I can't disagree. I'm sure there's a.
Also, I want to keep getting a hall pass, so I will.
Yeah, watch.
I will not disrespect UD. In any way.
The only thing we'll say is, we're just reading your words, man.
Yeah, no,
that's all. We're just reading the words.
I've always been an admirer. I mean, the key part of the 2011 finals team that no one talks about is he got hurt. Now, I don't know if, I mean, he probably would have helped LeBron, honestly. That was what his entire role was basically being the Mr. Miyagi of the Miami Heat.
He was still a viable player.
And he was still good. And they had like two other, outside the big three, they had like two guys that could play.
Yeah, and as far as a Heat fan, he had some big moments in the 2012 Pacers series that helped them win that one. Of course, LeBron and Dwayne Wade exist as well. Keith, we'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk about the NBA? Talk about the NBA. Anyone else before we wrap it up? You can. You want to say goodbye to Sean for the week? He's got a vacation coming up. This is his last day. So if you want to bid adieu to
our, you don't have to.
Our intrepid producer, you can.
I will be back a week from today.
Sure. But it'll be a long week.
It'll be a long week of radio. That's why I take it all.
Me and Colton will find a way. Tomorrow, and then AJ after that. All right. The number is 713-780-3776. One more segment, a very short one. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Let's get to Keith here before we say goodbye for the day. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've been unable to listen to most of the shows today, but just wanted to see, and I apologize if you guys touch on it. What are the penalties that the NBA can legitimately assess to the Milwaukee Bucks for the salary cap circumvention contract signing of Gary Trent Jr., who had his worst career of his NBA career since his rookie season, and he's getting paid $18 million a year for the next 4 years, you know, with Rich Paul as his agent and whatnot, and he took less money to previous years, and now he's getting $18 million a year for a Bucks team that's not going to be remotely competitive in the NBA landscape, losing Giannis. So, seeing if you guys touch on that, and also as a Dolphin fan, Dell, were you pretty disappointed to see the Jarvis Landry jersey next to the guy who got yeeted by that big bison at Yellowstone? Thanks.
No, I wasn't, because you might have missed it. In fact, you said you weren't listening to a lot of the shows. I said earlier, once a guy is not on my team, he's not on my team. I don't think about Jarvis Landry at all. I'm supposed to care about a guy who, you know, had a punt return here, caught passes at 8 yards per clip.
Yeah.
On a very average.
He's open
team.
In the flat right
cool.
now.
Cool. Shout out to Bill Lazor, a former Dolphins OC, who said, oh, how about 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage in the flat? Let me throw the Jarvis there and see if he can make a play or two. Jarvis Landry was a guy who was someone to focus on when your team had no other talent. Look, the Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle stuff didn't end great, but I watch gods play that position. You're supposed to care about Jarvis Landry? Get out of here, Keith.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was a great video, though, about, with the Buffalo flipping. That guy, yeah. That guy lived? I assumed he died.
He was seriously injured. They have not said whether he's dead or not.
Oh, okay.
As far as Gary Trent Jr., yes,
I thought he died on impact. I'll be honest.
All I saw was seriously injured. We'll see if he survives it. Yes, Gary Trent Jr. signed a minimum deal in the 2025 offseason with the Bucks, as they were trying to, well, it was a 2-year deal, and they ripped it up to go give him his money this year. He signed a deal below his market value to help the Bucks. I'm sure people believe it was a wink wink deal. Hey, we'll take care of you, Gary. We don't have a lot of money this offseason. We waived and stretched Dame. We got Miles Turner in here. We're trying to keep Giannis. We'll give you this, and we'll make good. We'll make you whole once this year is over. The NBA can't prove that this was a consequence of the deal he signed for your $64 million is a consequence of a wink-wink deal. And if they can't prove it, all you can do is accuse the Bucks of being badly mismanaged. Unless another NBA team complains, which may spur on investigation, I think the Bucks are just going to be saddled with 4 years, $64 million of Gary Trent Jr. Isn't that punishment enough?
I was going to say. I can't, like, what team is going to be like, hey, like, it's not we like, wanted to sign Gary Trent Jr. This was coming off the worst year of his career.
Yeah, the Bucks didn't win a title last year. They lost their star player, and now they're paying Gary Trent Jr. $64 million over 4 years. I think the rest of the NBA is like, okay.
Sure.
Good luck to them on that. It matters little in the grand scheme of things unless someone was desperate to have Gary Trent Jr. and they couldn't outbid the Bucks coming off his, as you say, Keith, his worst year as a pro.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, take that. We'll be fine.
That's the downside of wink wink potentially cap circumventing moves.
Yeah.
Is sometimes you do it for Gary Trent Jr., who's coming off the worst career.
Can you imagine?
Season. Like, yeah. Charge it to the game.
Like the Bucks thought to themselves, We're going to guarantee Gary Trent Jr. all this money just to get him on this very average team that didn't even have Dame on it. What did they think they're going to top out at?
Yeah. No. I mean, it all boils down to, like, last summer, instead of doing that, they should have just traded Giannis then. But
yes,
oh,
and that is why.
Oh, well.
That's why.
Now they have Tyler Herro.
They allowed it to be a two-team race, mm-hmm. as opposed to opening up to more teams who might have been able to say, you know what, Giannis, you don't want to lock in with us, but we got you for several years. And you're under contract, so we'll take our chances. Instead, they had to do what they did now. They have a lot of young guards.
And Gary Trent Jr. putting frozen peas on Tyler Hero's face.
Gary Trent Jr. says, I don't know that, man. I'm not doing that.
But, hey, you're working for that $16 million, Gary, all right?
Meanwhile, Gary Trent Jr. locked in. Tyler Hero expiring. I'm sure he's not going to demand the ball and usage while he's trying to get a big deal. While Gary Trent Jr. is like, I'm good here. Doesn't matter how many shots I get up. This is fully guaranteed. Shout out to John Horse, the Bucks GM, for all of his moves over the last two seasons. All right, we're done for the day. Rich Eisen's up next. Then Jeremy and Kunkel. I saw a thing. Is that starting? Is that today? Or is Joe here today?
Joe and Kunkel.
Joe and Kunkel.
I think. Joe should be here today.
Okay.
Because we're recording a Inside the Ospox.
What if Joe said, I'm not working. I'll just come in for the podcast.
That power move.
Yeah, it's Jeremy on vacation. Apologies. It is Joe and Kunkel all week long. Jeremy along with Sean on vacation. Maybe they'll be.
Hey, I'm here today.
You'll meet
Lazy Bones.
You'll meet Jeremy later, whatever vacation spot you two decided on. Colton will join me tomorrow. All right, we're done. Since we're done, what does that mean?
I'll see you on the golf course tomorrow.
Yeah, you will.
Is that where you and Jeremy are going? We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.